Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today is the all auspicious appearance day of Sri Ramachandra, Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Krishna. There are four who are the most powerful, the most complete manifestations. Lord Nrsimha, Lord Vamana, Lord Ramachandra, and Krishna. The reading from Canto 9, Chapter 10. I'll chant verse 4, but then I'll go back and read the translations at the beginning of the chapter. Gurvarte chaktarajyo vyacharad anuvanam padma padbhyam priyaya panisparsh akshamabhyam vijita patarujo yo harindranujabhyam vairupyat churpanatya priya viveha rusharo pita bruvidrimba trust abdir Badhasetu Kaladava Dahana Kosalindro Vatan Naha. Text 1, translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Kotwanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Ajja. And from Ajja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasharatha. Oh, okay, translate. You want me to stop after each sentence?
No, I'll just translate.
Go ahead. So you can translate concurrently or sequentially? Which way?
Maybe
you can read a little slower. Okay. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. The next is the verse that we chanted. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, king of the monkeys, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows, and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord, Ramachandra, give us all protection.
So you're not going? You're not going, so I can read the whole chapter?
In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of all the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle. Just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugarcane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, and appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife. Well, let me finish the verse.
How did two incarnations fight against each other?
It was fun. But Parashuram promised he would kill every Kshatriya he saw. So he saw Ramachandra, even though he's himself.
Why does he have to try to kill his own incarnation?
Because he promised he'd kill all the Kshatriyas.
He took a vow, I'm going to kill all the Kshatriyas, and if they come back, I'll kill them again. And he did it 21 times. He had to do his vow, right?
Yeah,
he did no conditions.
Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom. Opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life, and went to the forest with Sita. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow. What's invincible? That means nobody can beat it. Invincible bow and arrows in his hand. Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desire, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashrama, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed, due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person
attached to women. Translation. I can tell you one story. When I was thinking, I was a brahmachari and I was trying to decide whether to get married. I said, I'll open up the Bhagavatam at random and see what Prabhupada says. I opened this page and read this translation and still got married. What do you say? No, the translation. Verse.
So what is the conclusion?
Should we listen? You should listen to your spiritual master. What? Who? Okay. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kobanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastime of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks. Okay. So you have Nakra and Makara here. Nakra is a crocodile. Prabhupada translated Makara as shark. Including the crocodiles and sharks were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading supreme person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the supreme person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. He's not Putra, he's Mutra. Please go kill him, and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains, whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana, with the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother. The Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had been previously burned by Hanuman. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. Right. When the city's crossroads
platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed. The entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against his enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and the monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, khadgas, and tomaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy, and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog." These are some burigalis. "For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshmana. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously, in voices appealing to everyone, "O my Lord, O Master, you epitomize trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka
and also we ourselves now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath the tree named Shimshapa in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishana the power to rule the Rakshasa's population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, placed Sita Devi on an airplane, decorated with flowers, and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmana. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence his brother Bharata was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow. Covering his cooked in the urine of a cow. Covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusha. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Bharata understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes, and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Lord Bharata was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots, drawn by beautiful horses, with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery, and by other flags of various size and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisk, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharata, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharata stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharata with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshmana, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances to the learned brahmanas and the elderly persons in his family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O King, Lord Bharata carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword. And Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield.
Rikshas?
Bears.
Okay.
Yeah,
what?
Right.
Bears?
Bears.
What do you mean?
He's king of the bears, Jambavan.
He was carrying bears.
He's a bear. He's the king of the bears.
But he was carrying in his hand?
He was carrying a shield, a golden shield. Okay, prediction. As the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharata, Lord Ramachandra entered the city Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasharatha, and especially his own mother Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors, such as Vasishta. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him. Then he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way they all entered the palace. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of a long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishta, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony, Abhishek, for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head cleanly shaved, dressed himself very nicely, and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashrama, accepted him as their father. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharata dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, rivers, hills, and mountains, the states, the seven islands, and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Didn't have to die unless you wanted to die. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashrama Dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. There's another chapter, but I'm not going to read it now. About the later pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. How he sent his wife into exile. Any comments?
For how long?
For good.
What?
Forever.
Why?
Because someone criticized that he was controlled by his wife.
Really? Forever?
Yeah. Yeah, then she got swallowed by the earth. So she never came back. Yes, Prabhu?
We had just one people who were religious, very pious, and someone else, how to understand the presence of a woman with free behavior, prostitutes, and what they're meant for, just all the people. What is it?
Yeah. Why they have prostitutes?
Yes.
All the citizens, were dharmic, well behaved.
So what is it? How do you think?
Well,
do they belong to some? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do they belong to some? Are they outcast considered or?
I don't think they're born. Anybody's born a prostitute. It's usually by circumstances that girls end up becoming prostitutes. Some of the mothers sell them into prostitution. You know, they apprentice them. So maybe it runs in the family, but it's not, strictly speaking, a caste. Well, it's relative. People were good, but not perfectly good. This was Treta Yuga, not Satya Yuga. Treta Yuga, the mode of passion is already becoming prominent. Prostitutes were there. Maybe not many men went to prostitutes, but there was some need for their service. Right. Okay. Jai, all glories to Sri Bhagavan Ramachandra. Hare Krishna. Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman ki jai.